stumble out of bed and assemble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living, barely getting by. Without taking and no giving, they just use your mind. And they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. Election dream, just to watch them shatter. You just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you've got dreams he'll never take away. You're in the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5 for service and devotion, you've a teacher would deserve a fair promotion. Fun to move ahead, but the boss won't seem to let me. I swear sometimes that man is out to get me. Working 9 to 5 for a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. Working 9 to 5 for a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. Working 9 to 5.
Oh, Mariska Hargitay, Speedy. Yeah. Ride them cowboys.
Mariska Hargitay. My name's Joe, and thank you for listening to another episode of Millennials Third Eye, or whatever I'm calling it these days. I recently was inspired to do more of the radio show or the podcast, but more with, I guess, a direction and a meaning, and not just readings and stuff, but I still like those. My goal is to bring more people on to discuss some topics that come up, more so about the spiritual journey. I think it's really important for us to be more open and expressive, even like as our spiritual selves. It's about speaking our truth and also letting other people know that they might be experiencing some sort of similarity. And that's why I love doing these things, to help someone else out in the world. Divine timing. Maybe you listen to it a week from now. Who knows? Joining me on this episode is life coach Kristen Lynn, and we're going to be talking about her life and also what she would like to talk about and share and whatever we get into. So, Kristen, thank you for joining me. Oh, yes. Microphone. Right. You're back now.
I said thank you for having me. Can
no,
you hear
pleasure.
Me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you. I thought it was kind of funny because you had reached out to me about collaborating a while ago when I thought about collaborating again. And then I was like, yeah, I'll go on your radio show or your podcast. And then you're on mine first, but it's okay. I think it's great.
Everything works out in divine
time. No coincidences at all. So let's talk about you. We don't have to do the whole story, whatever you feel like, but where does your journey start? I mean, what really like was significant? Where do you want to start by sharing?
I think I'd like to start by just saying when I first started this journey, it was more of to help people. When I first started college, I became a counselor and I worked for the state for a while. And during that, I kind of felt like I couldn't really talk about spirituality. I couldn't really talk about faith the way that I wanted to talk about faith. And I felt like I couldn't really help people the way that I wanted to help people. And so you know, during the time that I was with the state working, excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. When I was working for the state, I remember just kind of thinking that there's something missing, you know, that I feel like I could help people a lot more with their energy, with their spirituality, with their faith. And I just kind of felt stunted in my growth when I was working for the state as a counselor. And so it was really kind of funny how it happened. I was on Facebook one night, and there was this live that popped up, and I had never seen a live stream on Facebook before. This was about 5 years ago. And I kind of just kind of got sucked right into the live. And this lady, she was a psychic medium. She pulled me on screen. I kid you not. I had no makeup on. My hair was all over the place. And she says to me, she says, "You need to leave your job." And I said, "What?" And she was like, "No, you need to leave your job because you are a psychic medium and you need to help people in more of a spiritual way. And you're going to do that as a spiritual life coach." And I said, "What the hell is a spiritual life coach?" And I kind of looked into it after that live. And I kid you not, 2 weeks later, I literally walked out of my job, box in hand, just decided to leave that job and start my own business. That night, I went live on Facebook, and just people were just clinging to me, asking me all these questions. And it kind of felt like a light went on inside of me. Like all these years, I've been like hidden, you know, all my spiritual gifts, all my abilities had been hidden for so many years. And on this platform, I was able to help people with, you know, so many more things than I was as a counselor. And as I did that, I felt myself being opened up even more and more and more and more. And I remember that very first live, it's actually on my group page, Divine AF Spiritual Talk. And it's on there, and it's kind of funny. You can just kind of see like this light coming from me. And I just feel like I'm guided to tell these people things and to help them and to guide them with those that have crossed over. And as I did that, I just felt more and more happy. I felt more and more joy. It got me to take more classes, to learn more about spirituality, to become a spiritual life coach, to use my abilities to learn more about things like crystals and salt baths and, you know, just different alternative ways of healing. And it just really sparked some joy in me. And ever since then, I just have been on this journey to spread the word and to help people open up and to help people just kind of own their own abilities. Because I believe that everybody has abilities. But it's kind of like a car mechanic in a way. Like anybody could be a car mechanic, but not everybody would be good at it. And not everybody would love it, you know. And I feel like everybody has the empath ability, the psychic ability, the mediumship ability. They just have to want to hone in on it and open it up. And so my journey now, it's 5 years later, I have my own local business in Bismarck, North Dakota, which is really far away from you. I think you're in New York, right?
Yeah, I'm in New York. You said a lot of great things. I think it brings me back to part of my beginning of the changes. And I remember being really frustrated, and I had a lot of emotions, and I felt stuck with my career too. And I had like, it's really weird. Oh, it's 11:11. It's really weird because, to be honest with you, I like to reflect on things because I find more awareness to the memory, and it's interesting. And I remember being so strung out. There was this guiding, overwhelming intuition that I never experienced before. And while I was experiencing this overwhelming intuition, I was seeing a lot of symbols in the salts. You know, like when it snows, they put salt and it tracks into like the home and stuff. And so my job, there was like salt images. And there was, I was making pasta and tossing flour on the board. And I see this old man's face, and my phone was saying weird shit and angel numbers. So you can only imagine, like, in the beginning going through that, I was like, what the f- is going on? And the hardest part at that time for me was I was 28. I moved back home from Florida, and I felt that I was so stuck because I didn't want to do the chef thing at the time anymore. I didn't want to not do something. I was 100% like avoiding myself, and I wasn't aware of like why I was stuck. And one, and just like a bunch of things kind of clicked. And one day I realized I was pleasing other people by not doing what I felt I needed to do. And so I like had a hard time, but I quit a couple different jobs, but I started to like, I kept trusting this intuition. And as I was trusting it, I kept asking and learning new things that I was inspired to do. And I was asking myself questions I never asked before. And I kid you not, like, one day I took myself so seriously, because we have to at times. And I was like, okay, what? Joe wasn't happy. And I was like, okay, what? Let's do this over. Like, let's learn about Joe. And I was having fun with it. And it was kind of, like, exciting to think the new Joe. Like, I didn't understand that completely. But it was like, Joe loves to talk with people. And Joe loves meeting new people. And as I'm doing this, I just got hit in this like huge aha moment, and I'm not kidding, I heard readings. And now I was doing readings privately for like very rare occasions, but I didn't like read many people at the time, but I was always like connected to my guides and had an altar. I just didn't overthink it. I was like, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go do readings at this place. And I did that, and I actually brought people in, but there was this overwhelming direction. And I think even at times now, it's not as intense, because I think we calibrate to the frequency, so it's not as intense. But I even have hard times with myself, like as this journey progresses, with why am I not receiving this? Or why is that not where I feel? And, you know, emotions are a big thing. So what's something recently, you mentioned you weren't on your Facebook page for a while. So if you don't mind me asking, what happened with that?
I think that with me, like, I had such huge spiritual awakening. And for me, this, you know, and I had had a few times during my life, and you know, when I was younger, I used to talk to spirit, and my dad used to tell me, you know, that's the devil, or, you know, I wasn't allowed to talk about it. And I remember, you know, because I was in such a Catholic family, I wasn't allowed to talk about what I could do with energy or how I felt or the dreams I was having, the premonitions I was having. And as I got older, you know, as I went into this locally, I opened up. I think that I had like a good 4 years where I was just really kicking ass, and I was going live every night, and I was doing selling crystals, and I was doing products and stuff. And then I think, you know, probably back in October of 2021, I just started feeling a lot of heavy energy. I started feeling like I was feeling kind of shut down in a way, because I just, you know, I felt like I was doing the same thing over and over, and I felt like I needed to do something new. And that's when I decided to open up more classes here in town. And I just really think that for me, it was about, I needed more newness. I needed more, I don't even know how to put that. I needed something different to come through. And, you know, I knew that I was good at mediumship. I knew that I was good at healing. I knew that I was good at, you know, helping people find the right products for them. But there was just something, I guess, missing. But I had so much resistance to, you know, doing the podcast, doing the live, doing all of those sorts of things. And I'm not sure where that resistance was coming from. I think I was just not ready at that point in time, and I kind of went through a little bit of a depression because I had so many clients that were messaging me and saying, hey, you know, where are you? How come you're not going live anymore? What's going on? And I think for me, it was just about me ramping up that energy and deciding, okay, now it's time for me to go. Now it's time for me to, you know, start putting out podcasts, start helping people again. And I feel like that bit of creativity was kind of missing for a little bit until I kind of started developing new programs and new things for my clients. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I find it interesting because I, for like a solid four years, I want to say, I think it's been five, but it was like 4 years, just like you said, this huge, like, awesome wave of, like, life changes. There were some, you know, difficulties, but it's like, wow. You find your purpose, you go do your thing, everything lines up. And for me, I think there was this, like, ceiling I hit. And I actually didn't think about it this way till now. I was doing so well. Honestly, no. Before that, I started to have difficulties. Before my relationship, my last relationship, I would, you know, the money, I think COVID, I don't really like to say these things because I don't really believe in it, but I can understand, you know, COVID did play a part financially, but it's not about, like, the money, and I think a lot of people, spiritual people say that, but you know what, it is about the money, too. Like, we're using our time and energy, and we have to learn stuff, and I found myself losing myself again due to other circumstances with, like, narcissistic relationship and all that stuff. And I found myself learning so much, even recently, about self-value. I learned more about, you know, my connection with my mom that I didn't know I had an issue with, a fear of being misunderstood, a fear of being judged, fear of the unknown again, like things were coming back to surface. And it taught me all this stuff. And in the meantime, I was still learning about, like, why. I'm a very curious person. For most people, they wouldn't think, like, that's where you start. But I start with, okay, let's be blunt. Why am I not making money the way I was or I want to? And I went through all these trials and tribulations because I'm very determined to understand even spiritually. And I found, you know, more information on, you know, love energy. But it really brought me to something similar with you because I was lacking, like I reached a point and something burdened my growth. And I didn't think of it as, like, COVID. I thought of it as, you know, this is my reflection of my reality. So what is it? And what I came down to is even, like, this creative flow of doing another episode with you in it. I was running away from a lot of work. So even with my career as a chef, I was there but not really happy to be there emotionally at times, or I would be happy. Like, at the beginning, it's all new and exciting, and then you're like, okay, I'm here at work now. And so I had to relearn. I had to actually put into place, like, learning how to enjoy work. Because if I'm avoiding work, which I turned my spiritual stuff into, then I'm avoiding happiness. And I remember being super creative and just doing whatever I thought was, like, fun. And I was asking myself now, like, why am I not as happy and excited and fun as I used to be like that? And so there's this, like, in between. And so we all have to start somewhere. And so I started going back onto podcast again and just have fun and letting go of the worries. Like, I'm not going to lie, I still have sometimes worries of money, but I have started to put into place more understanding about, for me, you know, God and collective and God consciousness was a new thing I stepped into and awareness of. But I don't find these things based off of money. I find it off of my open heart and connectedness to my intuitive side as well. And it also plays a part in teaching me more about the belief system of why that is important or how it all is connected. And I think everyone, I agree with you. I want your opinion about this. I think everyone does have spiritual gifts. And I think that we're meant to connect with different teachers or even friends or family that will give us pieces of what we need to understand and learn more about ourselves. I was thinking about this before when I was thinking about the podcast, is when I was going through this journey, I can't even honestly tell you what significantly brought me to it. But even timelines and timeline jumping, I woke up one morning thinking about this shit. And I went to work as in the kitchen, and I made a dish that I knew how to make because I've been there twice at this job, and it's simple. And all of a sudden, the chef goes, "What are you doing? That's not the way you do it." And I said, I wrote it down in the notes, like when I started back up, like I know what it is. And he goes, "No, it's this way." And I went, "You know what? This might be some parallel universe shit or some other parallel reality or timeline." And I go home and YouTube comes up because I was so used to going home showering and just like going to bed to learn more about what's up in my life. And YouTube goes, "Here's timeline jumping and all this other stuff." I'm freaking out like, holy shit, that's real. But all this metaphysical stuff I talk about has just come to me at different times in my life. And I think I'm saying, you know, we both have different gifts or similar gifts. What has, like, how would you explain it for yourself, for other people too, to understand, like, you're just individually guided to exciting things that are calling to you, or how'd that work for you?
I think for me, it's really strange. You know, I was kind of in and out of a toxic situation, trying to be friends with a narcissist, which, you know, never worked.
Never. What does work with a narcissist? I don't even know.
Huh?
What does work with a narcissist? Like, I don't even know at that point. Like,
I don't think there's much of anything that, you know, works with a narcissist. But I think for me, I just had this feeling of, you know, anybody can heal if they really want to. Anybody can, you know, work the steps, do the shadow work, do the things that, you know, would be, you know, something healing for them or help them to change. And, you know, I think that I was still in that mode of I can change this person. And even though I knew that I couldn't, you know, I knew that no matter what I did, it wasn't going to align with his spiritual journey. He's also a spiritual person. No matter what I did, it wasn't going to cause him change, or it wasn't going to cause him to be good to me as a person. And so as I kind of worked through that, and I saw a lot of clients in between times kind of dealing with the same things, the gaslighting, the fake profiles, the fake phone numbers, all that kind of stuff. And as I was, you know, being guided to learn more about this, it was just kind of funny. It would be like all of a sudden YouTube would pop up, you know, 5 ways to understand a narcissist or to set down a narcissist, or, you know, it was just constant. And I would see 111, 222, 333, the angel signs over and over. I would have dreams about how to rectify the situation. I kept being guided away from this person over and over. And when I finally decided to completely walk away, it was one of those things where everything lifted. And it was like this veil of energy that was just kind of stuck on me that just kind of went poof and boom, it was over. And that is when I started to kind of rediscover myself. And I started finding new ways of healing. I started learning new techniques. I started learning Reiki healing, or more Reiki healing like Karuna and Baibu. Started learning different yoga, different meditations, all kinds of stuff. And it was all guided. It's like, you know, it would just pop up on my phone. It would pop up in my email. Somebody would talk about it, you know, one of my spiritual friends. And it would just happen. And I feel like that's kind of what brought me to this podcast tonight, actually. It was just one of those things that just kept popping up, like do a podcast, do a podcast, do a podcast. I feel like people need to hear our journeys, that they weren't easy, that, you know, it's hard in the beginning and you do, you know, feel stuck at moments, but you can move forward. You can beat those, you know, if you have narcissists in your life, family, friends, whatever, you can beat that narcissistic dependency, you know?
You're on point with this topic too, because a couple of days ago, someone also kind of helped me become aware of something that I didn't know, which I thought was awesome. And I'm supposed to be talking about more of this as well for my, like the narcissistic topic at first for me, it was like, yeah, okay. Like there's so much of this out there. And, but recently I'm finding it more important that we do share our experiences of this topic. And I think I'm going to start now. So I want everyone to know, I'm sure like you have your share. There's going to be a lot of similarities you'll find with it. But when we're in a narcissistic toxic relationship, like you are not going to be a nice person either. Like there's going to be times where you're losing yourself energetically to a person, because your time, your energy, your attention is all about it. What's wrong with it? What are they doing? Because what I found is that they take your energy and you're given what they had, basically. That's what they give you. They're giving you the negativity, and they're very emotionally abusive too. So that energy is putting to you while you're giving them love. Like, why would you do that? You know, like I love you and all this other shit. So now you have their negative traits and you start really losing yourself, but you're not going to be the nicest person either. And I think there's an embarrassment to that. Like we feel so like, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. I said some mean shit. And the truth is that they will push you. I was pushed to limits of like, you have to be fucking kidding me. Like never ending accusations, never ending. Like I just wanted to be happy. And I was like, why does this person not allow me? I kind of realized too later on that they don't even want to be with you. They don't care, but they'll occupy your time. So you don't like, you're not happy. You won't see your friends. You won't have like, you'll cut people off. And it made me like, they isolate you from happiness. Like I was like solely like only directed at this person. Like that's my source of happiness now, because why? The narcissist has a source in the beginning to take from them. So they give you their old energy, and now you're literally acting and thinking just as they did, and they are who they really are.
Right.
And you know why? Because we're all mirrors. We're all a mirror. So we mirror them on purpose, because, look, the empath has positive and negative journeys within this too, but the narcissist has a lot of fucked up shit, and I still wish them well. I'm not here to talk, I'm talking about the topic, not this person. I'm talking about them and this topic and the person. But you know, we fear like judgment, and we're trying to please this individual, and we go above and beyond pleasing this individual. So you reflect them, and they don't like to see themselves through someone else. And so they're going to keep going and going until they learn. But I think one of the topics that comes to mind, because I think this is going to be an extensive expression and sharing, is do what, number one, you know you need to do, and stop the shit that's going to keep you on the same tracks. Because we all look for, like, how can I fix this person, because we have so much love? And how can we change this? And the best thing you're going to do and need to do is disconnect hardcore, because your brain is so rewired to them that you're like thinking about this person constantly. I don't want to
another
talk too
thing
much.
Sorry. One of the things, you bring up such a great point, because I was actually talking to a client not that long ago, I think it was last week or the week before, and she talked about how she'd be walking around her house and the narcissist would be blowing up her phone with fake profiles, fake emails, fake whatever. And she would literally forget what she does day to day. She forgot to pick up her kid. She was like 10 minutes late. She forgot to, you know, pay a bill. It's basically what I call is like pickling of the brain. It's kind of like if you're an alcoholic and you literally pickle the brain with all these layers of trauma. And then every day it becomes harder and harder to focus, harder and harder to sleep, harder and harder to do the things that you do every single day. And I think that for, you know, for that client that I'm talking about, for her, it was so important to know that she wasn't alone. And yes, we have a lot of information out there about narcissism, but we don't really talk about how it affects us as human beings, as spiritual people. You know, we don't talk about how it can throw out your solar plexus, your root chakra, your energy field completely just filled up with trauma. And when that happens, you can't function like a day-to-day person. You might lose your job. You might, you know, in worst case scenario, you might lose your kids, you know. And I really feel like the topic is, you know, talked about, but it's not talked about in detail. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's why I think it's going to be a long topic of how it comes out. It's going to come out, but divine timing or all this stuff. But I definitely lost myself. And I think the hardest part was like knowing that. And my intuition is like, you don't love yourself. And that's why you're looking for your love. And I was like, I know, but I hate this. Like, you're in this weird predicament of like feelings and stuff. And I remember really acting out of sorts. Like, it just wasn't myself anymore. And I even asked myself, like, this doesn't feel right. And I did go through a dark phase too, where I think every spiritual person will go through an experience in their own way through this, but it's all about everything in life. Like, I'm not saying all of our fears, but there's going to be things that need to significantly come and play a part in our reality so that we can face them. And I faced this fear of, because I was being attacked spiritually. There's stupid shit with that. But that time, I had to trust my intuition, because my warrior intuition was kicking in. And it was hard, but I kept hearing very loudly, you can hear us. And it was like, while I was being distracted, you can hear us. Trust in what we're telling you to do and feel the energy of how we're speaking to you. And they told me what to do, and I trusted it. But I also went through other phases that were even challenging too. But I learned more about my energy, that what's a part of it. I learned more from my guides. I learned more about facing my fears, or some people say, you know, demons. You're facing your own demons, meaning you won't ever. Yeah. You say that again?
You're also facing their demons. Said earlier, I think you brought up a really good point, is that, you know, some people don't understand, like, when you're with somebody intimately, you're picking up all of their energies as well.
Yeah.
And so, like, their shadow work that they didn't do, their bad energy that they carry throughout the day, their, you know, quote unquote evilness or whatever you want to call it, all of that energy, because we're empaths, we're holding that energy and going, okay, I can fix this. I can fix this. I can, what if I do this? What if I do that? I can, you know, and it wears you down. It makes you feel like self-conscious. It makes you feel less, you know, just assured of what your abilities are. You doubt yourself tremendously. The gaslighting is so bad that you literally lose your mind in the entire ordeal. So I think that you bring up a really good point that, you know, with these relationships, it's just super hard to, you know, find yourself again and realize that, especially if you're a spiritual worker like you are. Like, I noticed even with you, like, you gave me a reading, I think it was like 4 years ago, and it was over the phone. It was super amazing. And I remember you saying to me, stop trying to fix him. Stop trying to help him as a friend. The more that you keep him in your life, the more, you know, that you're going to screw up your own life. And that really hit me hard. I don't know if you remember that. You probably don't. It was so long ago, but it was a long time ago.
Did I tell you about two different timelines? I think I do remember. And I was like, there's a timeline where you stay with him longer to help him and you deter yourself and it doesn't go anywhere, or you choose to just do this quicker and it's much better.
Yeah, you did. You gave me two different timelines. I kind of got stuck in that timeline of, I can fix him. It'll be okay.
I was right there too with trying to fix this person. So it's like, I think it's a part of it. Like, well, look, right now I'm looking at the pros. For some reason, I think I'm avoiding talking about it still, but you know what? Fuck it. We're going to go still on the hard shit. I wasn't fully confident with myself before. And I say that because later on I learned more, but I love myself so much that I felt I was looking at things differently because I was being accused of like not giving all my attention to this person. And I did find at the time, like, I was like, you know what? I understand that now. And there was little things I started to kind of like fall into, like, oh, I can see that now. Because instead of me empathizing but being more solitude with myself, I started to give myself away. And once you give yourself away in a narcissistic relationship, and what I mean by that is being bluntly honest, but they turn it around and make it so difficult for you to even go like. So what happened was I had broken up with this relationship previously. And in the beginning, I kept saying like, I need my space. Like, it wasn't a break. It wasn't a breakup. I was just expressing like, I like my alone time. And they would cry and they were like freaking out, like we're breaking up. And so I fell a little bit into that. So I lost myself there. Then you start to like feel guilty, like you're a horrible person. And look, there's things that sound bad, but then I realized like spirit was also trying to save me from shit too. So yeah, there's going to be shit that you think that you did that was wrong. But keep in mind, like when you look back at all this, you're going to be like, oh, this makes sense now why this happened the way it did. So I lost myself emotionally, and you just find yourself like, it's like a falsified happiness. Like there's tiny little moments of have. This person got so vicious with me. It was an embarrassment to be around them. And I don't know even why, like I was like hoping still at the time. And we had like started talking again, hanging out, Christmas gifts. Wouldn't have a title, so I'm like confused in the shit too. Would fall asleep with me on the phone, but it's all like I found out it was all really because they just didn't want me to be happy. Like that made them happy. Like for me being miserable made them happy, but I was miserable too, and I was so angry. And all I kept getting back was, "Well, you deserve it because of this, this, and this." And I was like, wow. And I found out, you know, they were talking to someone else at a different time. And then this person said something shit to her. And it was like all hidden. And I knew the whole time too. It actually got twisted. It was really fucking like sick and twisted. But I had to get to a point where it had nothing to do with this person. It had nothing to do with the future with this person. It had nothing to do with tomorrow with this person. I had to really, like with most things in my life, finally accept what it was and realize what it was doing. And I'm going to say this like straight up. Intuitively, I had a feeling, and this is something I'm actually, it's a little hard to talk about still, but I have to talk about it. Intuitively, I knew, and I still don't know why, I felt it coming. But she had made up this whole list of reasons why, basically to slap an order of protection on me. And this is something that I'm still dealing with, and I found out that people need to hear their own ways about it. But it was a blessing in disguise, because I still messaged her on my birthday, and she acted as, oh, it's your birthday. And I was like, you want to meet for a drink? And well, she says that I called nonstop or whatever. That never happened. And it taught me to face my fears. So it was a blessing in disguise to help me just like, it was basically like, okay, now I have to like not even like ever speak to her again, which is great, good for me. But it also brought me this awareness of like, I was in fear of the court. I've never dealt with a court. I was afraid and this fear of being misunderstood. So who's going to listen to me? Who's going to believe me? And who's going to understand what I'm saying and trust what I'm saying? So I got to this point of like, I have to let go of this fear of not being heard for the truth and speak my truth. And that's why I'm also talking about it now. Like, I think we get into these moments where we're lonely after these separations, we're upset or angry. We have tons of emotions to deal with now. And I had to like rediscover myself for social media because I was still embarrassed. I was still upset that I let someone influence me that much to like, I was crying on Facebook Live. Like looking back at it now, I'm like, all right, cool. Like I get it. I had emotions, but I was doing stuff for her that was never like, even that wasn't enough. She didn't want to believe me. And that's the narcissistic shit. But all in all, and I want to ask you this, like, where do you find yourself now? But I found that chaos brought order. I found that this relationship, besides toxicity and craziness and where it went, brought me more confidence, more awareness of my sex appeal, more awareness of being proud of who I am, regardless of being judged. I was being judged nonstop for being flirty and being connecting with all women basically as clients, because that's what my clients are. And it was everything I did was judged and wrong, but they were doing the same shit anyway in the wrong ways and stringing me along. And that's my own fault. I stuck with it. I chose to it. But at this point, only things that I've seen, instead of looking at it as a waste of time, I found it very productive to find where I was lacking and what I needed to do. Because everything that was being prevented was basically everything that was making me happy. Everything that was blocking me was everything that I was working hard at. So this person was basically cutting me at the end of the stalk so I didn't grow. And also trying to badmouth me too, like talk shit nonstop.
Oh, yeah,
so yeah, there's a lot of shit I said and it was mean, and but at the same time there's a lot of shit I had to like take from this person because I was allowing them to do that to me. And there's only so much until we break as people where we have to make a choice emotionally to go somewhere else instead of falling into the same bullshit. So what have you like taken from this?
I think that it's really strange that you bring up a protection order, because that's exactly what I, too, have been dealing with. I had to put a protection order on him because he was showing up at my work. He was showing up. He even showed up at an event that I was hosting and just, you know, with flowers, trying to act like he loved me, but we all know that he didn't. And it was just like he wanted me to not be happy. Like any time that I was doing well in work, in life, all of a sudden, boom, fake profile, fake numbers, fake this, fake that. And he just has like this way of getting to me, you know, like wanting to get to me, wanting to make me unhappy. And I just learned, you know, that I just have to block it. Every time I see it, block it. Every time I see it, block it. And still to this day, like, he'll come back, you know, like, you know, just for an example, the fact that I'm doing this podcast with a man, oh, my God, you know, he's probably going to message me on platform and, you know, who do you think you are? And, I, you know, like, he thinks in his head, he's the one who made me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, very egotistical, very just like, you know, thinks that he should have got credit for helping me with this, even though, you know, it was mostly trauma. You know, while I was building myself up, he was traumatizing me. So as I was going through the journey, it would be like he would start a fight right before a big event. Or he would keep me up till 4 o'clock in the morning screaming at me right before I had to give a lecture or a class. And it was just one of those things where he just constantly sabotaged me. And I think for me, it taught me that some people, no matter how much you care about them, they're never going to change. They're never going to want you to be happy just because you want them to be happy. You can tell them, you know, I'm going to do all this love energy and I'm going to walk away. They'll still look at you and be like, you know, I'm going to hate you for the rest of my life. You did this and this and this and this, you know. So I think for me it was a big learning curve. I think that I always knew I couldn't change him, but I just wanted to so badly that it took a lot of energy away from what I wanted to do with my life, which is, you know, podcasting and readings and teaching people how to heal from this crap. There's just not a lot of people that do this. There's not a lot of people that specialize in helping people get out of this crap, you know. And I think that with even your journey, you have, you know, as much support, I'm sure, as you would have liked. It's hard to do it, especially when they isolate you and they don't want you to have friends, so they, you know, start drama with the friends, all of a sudden the friends leave. It's a very toxic situation, but I learned so much from it. And I feel like even today it's made me stronger. It's made me more aware. It's made me use my abilities more than ever before. And it made me lose understanding. you know, I went through all this spiritual growth. I learned how to heal. I learned how to, you know, get it out of my chakras so that it didn't sit there and cause me to gain weight. I truly believe in the law of attraction. I truly believe in energy work. And I kind of learned how to couple those together to make my body and my mind healthy. And so I feel like I've made a huge transformation in my own life and for my clients, and to help them and to help them know that even if they are currently in a toxic situation, there is a way out of it. And there is a way beyond it. There is a life that does bring you joy. And you can find joy in little things. Like I took my daughter to the river the other day. And just to see her beautiful smile, it just lit my heart up. It was like, these are the moments that I didn't get to have when I was with him. Because even if I had them, I never felt them. Because I was too worried about what he was going to be mad about next. What he was going to yell at me at next, you know?
Yeah, there's a big part of that. It's you're so focused on that so much that you're not really in the present moment. You're not there, yeah. I don't know. Where was I going to go with that?
I think you really made a good point about the quantum leaping and the time jumping. I feel like that's what's really gotten me through it. I kind of time jumped to when I used to work as kind of like a side gig when I was taking a break from social work and counseling and stuff. I worked for a place called LA Weight Loss, and I worked there for a few years. And I had that was the first time I lost a whole bunch of weight. And I kind of find myself time jumping to that moment because that was when I was the most happy. And I used to be able to help clients with their weight loss, but also with their issues, their blocks. That kind of came into my own. Ended up, you know, managing the company and the franchise by myself. And it was just such a beautiful experience. And I feel like that experience made me be able to take that energy and put it into what I do today and learn all these different people, all these different clients, what struggles they have, what blocks they have, and to be able to take the energy from then and go, okay, I can have that energy now if I want it. All I have to do is think about it and feel it, that love energy, you know?
There's a lot we can take from, I don't even like saying the word narcissistic anymore. I don't know how to explain it, because I've taken unconditional love from it, because I got so angry. I'm a very big person on feelings and also awareness and intellect of new things. And so my emotions were so strong that one day, I was pissed, I was angry, I was disappointed, I was depressed. You get to a point where you're like, look, I love this person, I'm not happy with them. But the negative energy that's associated to it is just love that is not being, is taken for granted or something, right? So I learned that unconditional love, like I have to love this person for who they are, regardless of anything. Why? But now I'm also grateful that I went through all this, because it's only taught me so much more awareness of myself. But even like now, I'll be honest with you, there's choices I'm making that I think that would make me happy. And so I learn afterwards that it's not exactly what I wanted, which is fine. And then I learned to process it. And I've processed like something new to me, which is actually today, honestly, is that I'm a person who I've recently discovered how much I really love myself, which is kind of weird to say. I love myself so much that I found I can be totally cool with hanging out with someone for like a day, but I really want to go home afterwards, or like different things will change it. But I really love being alone in my car or being alone in my energy. And then I'll go hang out with people. Like I need balance. And I kind of accepted this new awareness of this is how I like living. And before the 3D world kind of put this instillment still with like how life's supposed to be. And I'm 31. I think a lot of people are afraid of like not reaching their what they think life should be at a certain age, and don't do that. But, you know, how can we replace this narcissistic word? This other person in the topic was kind of like stuck in their ways too. And I was also stuck in my ways too. Like, I don't like to just focus on, yes, there's a lot of horrible, annoying stuff, and it's so disappointing, run. I like to focus on what was this about? You know, what is it deeply, rather than I'm learning to fix this person, let's fix Joe or, you know, us, and think about it differently. So yeah, we're mirrors. It brought me more closer to the awareness and download of galactic, this timeline, past. It's all relevant. It brought me to the awareness of God, because we come from source. That topic, which is weird to think about. We go through timelines to experience, to learn, to help other people. It's kind of like this flow. We were doing great for 4 years, then we got lost, and now we're back again, and we're learning so much more. We're going back up. I think we're going to have a little drop again in the later years, but honestly, like everything else is progressing, it's going to be quicker. We're going to go, oh, that again? Here we go. And that's what I've been learning about my journey is, before, did it really good. Took me a minute, got it, started doing it, didn't know I was doing it. Then I dropped. Now I'm back up going, oh, that's what that is? Okay, so how do I put that into play with the awareness of it? It's like realizing, oh, you just need to be excited and passionate and creative about this thing to be there. And I'm like, okay, how do I get there? And then we learn how to get there. So this all came from this horrible situation and facing my fears and speaking my truth again, because I didn't even think about it till the other day when someone brought it up, that I didn't even talk about it yet. And I used to talk about it day one on my podcast, starting this journey about how my ex passed away. And I looked at that and I went, well, I talked about it to heal from it. And why am I not talking about this? And then all of a sudden, you and other people are bringing it back up. So there's different parts to it. But it brought me here, and I'm grateful. I think – let me know what your thoughts about this is. I'm still a firm believer and feel into it that we're all souls before we come here, right? And, like, me and you are talking. We're like, hey, I'm going to mess your life up a little bit, and you're going to hate me. And you're like, oh, I'm so excited. Thank you for participating and allowing me to experience that. And we come here and we experience it as people and humans, but we were meant to do that for each other. And that's actually like an act of love. like I'm gonna mess you up.
But I promise you'll thank me later.
Yeah, you'll thank me later, and you'll hate me for it. The truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. Like, you know, there's one thing I didn't understand, and it's coming to my mind right now. Maybe you can help me with it, which is weird, because I didn't know I had multiple narcissistic relationships. Like, this one lit it up, and then I was like, oh, shit, that one was too. And I had one at one point, and she looked at me one night, and she says, I'm just going to drain your light. Like, I'm going to take all your light. And this was before I was, like, soul awakened and went through my journey. I was like, what did she just say? But then the other relationship, she goes, you're like everyone else. I just make you better for the next one. And I thought to myself, yeah, it's exactly what you're doing. But, like, at the time, I didn't want to hear. I was like, no, we can fix this. But did your narcissist, like, did that happen to you? Like, what, did they say something, like, similar?
Oh, yeah. I had three, technically. I had my daughter's dad, and then I had another one. And then, one of them was more like a, I guess it was more of a, I don't even really want to say it, but it was more of like, a low-grade narcissist, but the last one was the one that traumatized me the most. And I think that the reason for that is because it was my first spiritual relationship. I had never been with a spiritual man before. And, you know, because I live in Bismarck, North Dakota, there's not a lot of spiritual men here. And so I think that I think that it was for him, he saw that, gravitated toward that, and he would use my spirituality against me, and he would use it as a way to gaslight me. And, you know, like if I would say, okay, I'm done, I'm out of here, I don't want to talk to you anymore, he'd be like, no, we're twin flames. I know you can feel me. I know you can, you know, see me in your dreams, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no.
It was gaslighting. And it got me to the point where I was like, okay, am I crazy? Like, what's going on? Like, how come I can still feel him? Is he right about this? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was through many years of just going, maybe he was right, maybe he was wrong, maybe he was, you know. And I had this constant battle inside of myself. And every day it was like, you know, no, she's not my twin flame. Twin flames would not want to hurt me that bad. And he did. He said the same thing to me. He said, I'm going to drain all of your energy. I'm going to drain you until you can no longer smile.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd even say things like, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then an hour later, you know, I just don't feel like you can make me love you. And, you know, things like that where you're just going, okay, what the hell is going on with this guy? Is it him? Is it me? Is it his past traumas, because he had many of them? But you don't want to blame their childhood on, you know, what they're doing with you in the present day, because that's just giving them an out to do it more to you, you know? And
yeah.
I notice a lot of people do the same thing. They're like, oh, no, he had a bad childhood. That's why he does what he does.
yeah.
But it's not good to do that, because then you keep yourself in it. Oh, my God, is he okay? He threatened to commit suicide if I left him. Is he going to be okay, Kristen? I hear this a lot from my clients. Is he going to be okay? Yes, he's going to be okay. He's got three others waiting on the side.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the other thing. I got accused of the same shit that everything that they were doing, I was getting accused of. Like, I'm the one who has I never brought it in, but, like, a supply – I posted a bunch of narcissistic stuff, like, at one point in our relationship, and she got really upset, but I didn't realize, like, I was, like, speaking my truth, and I was trying to save myself and tell myself, like, look what you're in, but, yeah, that's what happened with me, like, it was through spirituality, and I didn't realize it was a plan, you know, they make up a plan, and sometimes it's a really good plan, they get their way in. But love bombing for sure. And I just felt so out of it. Like I didn't even know I was out of it yet. I was being weird already in the beginning, like what happened to Joe? And I would like emotionally buckle down to like being super depressed quickly because they weren't happy with me. Like, honestly, I'll tell you the truth. Talking about this, like, I didn't realize I had a fear of talking about this because the court date thing is still like active. And I was embarrassed to talk about it still. Even at work, like, I was embarrassed to like, I have to go do this court thing for 20 minutes in the car. I have this, you know, I didn't want to like, and I'm facing my fear by talking about it because I felt like I didn't have like my freedom of speech. Like, I got to be careful of mentioning it. I'm not mentioning the person. Like, it's just more so I didn't feel safe and I had to face that shit and I'm doing it still now talking about it. I felt like my freedom was taken away or was they tried to take my freedom away by threatening with fear. And, I started just facing all my fears, and this is another one that don't – I think a lot of people let things just influence them, even money. Look, there's situations – maybe there's one for you that comes up. We all have these moments of, like, what are we going to do? And we get stuck trying to figure out, like, how we're going to do it. How are we going to get there? And it's very simple, but we don't like the answers on how to get there. And I had to learn how to let go. Mentally about the problem. And so I would have like great days and time would go by because I would be at work sometimes and just like thinking about this problem or this person. It's like fucking toxic. And we all know who we used to be. We didn't do this before. So I was like, I don't like doing this. I don't like doing this. I have to reinforce it. But I got to a point where things were good and things are good now, but I would like have a moment or an email or a reminder about this court thing. And I'm like instantly triggered. And I'm like, why is this bothering me so much? And I get it, but this shouldn't be influencing me so much on like being happy. And then, oh yeah, by the way, this person's still trying to energetically like cause problems, like just move the fuck on. And so I decided to write a letter to the judge. And someone inspired me to like, it was kind of funny because the other day I was thinking about it. I was like, today I make a decision. And this person's like, you have to go tomorrow. And so I did, I dropped it off. So I decided to, you know, defend myself because my public attorney decides to, I called this person immediately after they assigned them to me. And I was like, hey, this is me, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't call me back for months. And all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to this next one because nothing is, like, going the way, like, in favor for me. He calls me before the court date, then texts me and emails me, and then I call him back and text him back. Never responds. Tells me that I should, like, go – not in favor for me. Like, I'm like, this person doesn't even, like, know my side at all. So I was like, fuck this. I'm going to defend myself. And I'm not going to live in fear. I'm tired of this, like, and this is everything in my life that I've learned. I get tired of, like, dealing with the same thoughts and emotions about something. It could be anything. And I'm like, you know what? What is it about this that I need to learn? And I just get real serious about it. I'm like, what is this? What am I doing with this? What's the problem? And then I finally figure it out. Or someone is assisting me to figure it out, too, when they're like, hey, what's... It's crazy how life works. People just reach out. But what's something you have, like, I don't know, distraction? Were you, like, distracted from – what's my point here? It was about being, I guess, stuck in the fog. Like, you know you need to do this thing, and you're not doing it. And you let something just occupy your mind, and you're not really present.
So, like, for me, you know, it's – something came up recently and, you know, I'm kind of open to my clients about this and how, you know, he's kind of held on even though we've been separated for so long. You know, he'll still pop up every now and again. And it's kind of like, you know, he takes me off the shelf and dusts me off and goes, okay, here's what we're going to do with this one today, you know. And
right.
Recently, It was October, I think, of last year. And I think this is when I started feeling kind of triggered and depressed. He literally purposely went against the protection order just to get a reaction out of me. And, you know, it was one of those things where he was like, if you leave me, I'm going to commit suicide. You know, it's like he puts you in the situation where it's impossible. Mm-hmm. And then doesn't ask. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, like, did he do it? Like, do I need to call in a welfare check? What am I going to do? And so I did call in a welfare check, didn't tell them about the protection order. They found out, of course. And then we ended up having to go to court. And it was one of those things where, you know, he ended up getting a plea deal or whatever. But I think that it triggered me so much. Because of the fact that there's still that little part of me that I needed to deal with that made me feel like I so badly wanted to help him. And no matter what I did, you know, when I was with him, I could not help him. And, I mean, I could literally walk him through all the shadow work. He could be writing. He could be meditating. Nothing came out of it. And I think that I kind of beat myself up emotionally for that scenario. I think that I felt guilty about it because I should have known, you know, that he didn't try to commit suicide, that it was just a play. But there was so much trauma behind it that I thought, well, maybe he did. Well, he did take some pills, but he didn't get anywhere near trying to off himself. It was just his way of getting my attention and making me very unhappy right before my birthday.
Right.
And so, you know, I had to learn a lot from that. And I think, you know, that's what kind of pushed me into learning more healing. I took more classes from my spiritual advisor at that point. I took more, you know, trauma-based therapy classes to learn more. Because there was just something about that situation that really kind of threw my vibration down a bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once I worked through it, I was okay. But I think that that's what, you know, initially drew me to kind of, you know, shut myself down a little bit and then now decided to come back out. And, you know, a lot of people ask me about that. And, you know, I'm very open and honest about it. You know, he won't let go completely. And mm-hmm. I think that that's his personality. And, you know, he just believes that he owns whoever he's with. Doesn't matter if it's 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 3 years, he feels he owns those people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that a lot of people aren't aware of. They hoover. And once they start hoovering, they, you know, start thinking you can help them again, but you have to shut it down right away. Otherwise, it gets super, super, really triggering.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of back and forth in these relationships with they'll do something. It's like the gaslighting. They'll do something, gaslight you, and then it's like back to you, and you're the problem, And I find even for me, this person said at times like things I never heard before. And they were like, you're breadcrumbing me. Like they were making me out to be this person. Meanwhile, what isn't noticed, I think that we as empaths and narcissists, like two sides to learning, they're showing us their side of them and we're showing us our side of us. And they learn about us in some weird way. I don't know how that helps, but they take advantage of it. So I was being like constantly trying to explain myself. I'm like, no, that's not me. This has only taught me more of like definite intuition of awareness. Like I'm very empathic and empathetic with people. Like narcissists don't have empathy. They don't hold accountability. They never will. Because here I am, and it's quite interesting. You know, I find myself in a similar scenario every time it happens because it's going to be the same. I can tell you a lot of positive things about it. I can tell you positive things about that person. I can tell you things that I hope they're – I can still take accountability for what I've done or said. And yeah, but narcissists can't do that. They will only say everything that they see or deemed or talk shit about you. And I'm not talking about this topic. Number one, it wasn't planned, and my shows aren't planned really for the most part. But this is intentionally for people to like be aware and for self-help. Like, this is not an intention to talk shit about this person. And it's not something I'm like caring about anymore, worried about. This has nothing to do with them. It's really about people, and this is why you mentioned it too. It's like people do need more awareness of it. And there's a lot to it. I think there's a lot of different scenarios to it. This person would like go out with me and go to get drinks and stuff, and out of nowhere start ridiculing me. I would want to take a picture of them, and they would like turn to this horrible person. And I was just trying to be a really nice person. Like, am I perfect? No. Have I done stuff? Yeah. But there's a lot I've learned too. Like, there's things that we do that aren't wrong. And I spoke my truth. We broke up, and I wound up hooking up with someone while we were broke up. Yeah, that is horrible and a sad thing, but at the same time, and at the time, I was asked a question, spoke my truth, not that I didn't give a shit, but sometimes I think I speak too much of the truth, I guess, because some people can't handle the truth. And that turned into a nightmare. That turned into things being hidden that were later on discovered. So it's a travesty in a way, but it's everything in my life. It's not just that topic. There's things that suck. And I have to, the best way for me that I've learned is I now have to face this thing in my life, look at the pros and the cons. What is it teaching me? Which is not always, this is not an easy process for me sometimes. But I learn from it. And that's what that has brought me from. Like, it's taught me to look at other things that aren't as bad anymore and go, okay, what is this now? Because if that was such a difficult thing, then I can learn something else that is less equal to its difficulty or more. Our success and our goals and dreams in life, it brought me back to that, honestly. Because I remember saying, and I always said, and I've changed it over the years, I want to be famous, or I want to be this, or I am famous. There's a point where this person was like, stop. Like, they didn't want me to chase my dreams. And that broke me too. I want someone who's going to lift me up and be a part of the journey with me. And brought me back to my dreams, where I'm here loving my life. I'm loving what I'm doing. What I love doing isn't justified by the money that comes in or doesn't. I'm still going to always love doing this. It brought me to so many different things, and I think two sides to it. There's the shitty parts, which suck because we're prone to going, that's wrong, and this is wrong, and that happened, and this happened, and we vent, da, da, da. And then there's just making that decision, like, you or just downhill. I got a question for you. Did you find your intuition more, I want to use the word strengthened from that.
Oh yeah, definitely. With it, and it's so funny how it happened. Like, you know, after, you know, I started having these phases where, you know, he was out of my life, you know, and there was breaks, you know, where I'd have like anywhere from 6 to 8 months where he would just leave me alone. He'd be with somebody else. I would just keep developing more and more. And the more that I had that time by myself, the more that I would meditate, I would go within, I would write, I would, you know, journal my thoughts, my feelings. And it's so funny, like since, you know, back in October when that incident happened, since that incident, learning more about rituals, learning more about my energy, learning more about how to heal my own body and my own mind, my own soul, I'm more connected now than I think I've ever been in my life. And I think it's because of all that trauma.
Yeah.
Because it forced me to sense.
Absolutely. I think it, like, strips us away of what we... not strips us away. I think it like pulls away for like a moment what we know of us and love of us so far to face like this like vulnerable self of like misery that we have now been stripped of like, and we have to face our like wounds that aren't healed yet. And this is why I tell people all the time, but I get the whole journey of this is that you get real stuck. Like you're lost in the sauce, hardcore in the toxicity, and you're there. Like, and I'm grateful I have experienced that because quite honestly, I mentioned it before in readings, which was true, but I really didn't know fully like what that was like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the biggest blessing is I can now understand when someone says, I'm in this relationship, da, 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 and I'm like, does this happen? Does that happen? Does this happen? They're like, wow, I never got to talk to anyone about this. You understand? That is a gift. That's like a gift. That's a gift for someone to go, holy shit, you understand that you can help me.
Right.
So if I went through that, if I went through all that shit for that as a gift, I'm blessed.
Oh yeah, and I actually talked to a client about this. I oh my God, like it's so funny that you bring that up because, you know, I was asked about my journey and I was asked about, you know, what led me to help couples, what led me to help people, you know, to get through narcissistic abuse relationships. And I always tell them how grateful I am that I went through that much trauma. And people just look at me weird because people that haven't been through it, they can't put their minds around it. They can't understand how you got through it. And they can't understand how you take that and you make it into something beautiful. And I think for me it was, you know, I feel like my dad is a narcissist and I feel like all the way down the line I encountered, you know, a lot of abuse, especially as a child. And I feel like I was given this journey in order for my soul to learn, in order for me to turn around and look at people and help them through it. I feel like that is my journey. I've always felt guided towards that. Even when I was in college learning about, you know, narcissistic behavior and abuse and stuff, I remember thinking, I want to do something with this. I want to help people with this. And I remember my instructor, my professor, saying, you know, a lot of people think that if they went through it, that they're going to be able to help more. But that's not the case. It means you might end up getting triggered by your clients. And I said, but isn't that the point? Isn't it the point to get triggered so that you know that that's the trigger so that you can heal that trigger, right? And so I argued with my professor about this, which obviously didn't give me the best grade. but he, you know, he was very adamant that I, you know, was wrong about, you know, the fact that if I'd been through it, I could help other people. And I think that it's very true. I think that if you haven't been through this kind of abuse, how are you going to help somebody who's been through it? You're just going to look at them like, I don't know what to tell you. I know what my book tells me to tell you, but I don't know what to tell you from my heart, right? And you can't really heal somebody's heart unless your heart has been healed from you going through that same thing.
Right.
And I feel like you and I, we both went through it because we're meant to help people that have gone through it. That's why somehow this ended up being our topic today. You know, we you know, just really talking and opening up about this because I feel like that is what drew us, you know, to even talk in the first place. And, you know, the fact that I called you for a reading, I think it was 4 years ago. I think 4 years ago. And it's because, you know, you've been through it. I've been through it. And even if we didn't know it at the time, I think we connected back then because I was going through the toughest part and I needed help. And, you know, now that I've gotten through that and you're getting through it and, you know, I feel like that's our journey. And now we need to talk about it, to open up this, you know, this huge topic in order to help people heal from it, you know.
I think we can also see from this, like, pattern how life is going to go. Because I think there's always going to be like, okay, now this is what happens, and now you talk about it. Great. There's going to be new levels to this, and you're going to realize you're still just another person connected to the whole of other collective people because they need to hear it too. You were reminding me of something. Oh, it gets me to an awareness point of this. This is why I don't like to use the word narcissistic anymore. You know, growing up, I find this topic very, like, common. I think people can be highly misdiagnosed with bipolar disorder. And I've actually found people who were diagnosed with Asperger's to intuitively find out that even that's mislabeled. And why? As an empathic intuitive, I've found that my core of my gifts is my emotions. I'm actually learning something new as we're speaking about it, which is pretty cool. So my emotions, yes. Do my emotions shift differently? Yeah. But to a normal person who doesn't understand the spiritual journey, they're going to go, something's wrong with you. You went from happy to depressed the next day. Like, yeah. And then you find out there's a collective wave of people also experiencing the same, like, thought process and feelings. So that's exactly, like, the whole point of this journey is you're different and you're trusting the process and you're going to help people around the world with the same problem. So bipolar, it's a 3D label. And then it's a label over the thing. It's like saying Pepsi or Mountain Dew is like a magical drink. But instead of labeling it, this is pure magic. Drink it. You'll be like amazed at what's going to happen. Magic. They labeled it Mountain Dew. So now you're not intentionally or consciously aware that, holy shit, that's magic. You just think it's Mountain Dew. And when you drink it, it's just Mountain Dew. So the more aware we become of our emotions, the more you become aware of you're not like everyone else. You're not supposed to be. You like to sleep late at night, or maybe sometimes you don't sleep and that's okay. Or maybe you have a different, your body reacts differently to different things. So you like this and that's what works for you. And narcissist unconditional love shows us that they are another person and they are mislabeled because we know that they have trauma as a kid or there's trauma involved. It's around everything we're talking about is on YouTube. Like, this is all common shit. We all know that they're avoiding their emotions. We all know that they rather point the finger at someone else to deter their insecurities. We all know all this, but it's easy to label the thing. I was mislabeled for whatever this direction of this court thing was, and I'm defending myself. It's easy to be mislabeled or get a mislabel, but we are afraid of, what if I do have this? And this journey is about facing our fears. Like, I don't care who thinks about what's wrong with me. I know who the fuck I am. I met someone that has Asperger's. I think that's what it is, Asperger's. And I said, well, I'm sorry, what is the symptoms to that? Oh, I can't really sleep. Sometimes I'm working on projects. I can't sleep because I'm so excited about it. And I went, by any chance, do you take Adderall? And they went, yeah. And I went, you don't have Asperger's. Your Adderall is the symptoms to that. And I said, do you know why I know? Because I take Adderall. Like, I stopped taking it for a while now, but it mislabeled again. Like, every symptom of that was exactly what I knew it to be. That's why I asked. So, okay, Adderall helped me in different ways and also brought out a lot of cons in my emotional space because I found that I didn't need it anymore for the purpose. It would bring me to an energetic consciousness of attention. But what really struggled with me with over this, like, full moon, I think, recently was that I didn't know what the thing was that was causing the problem, so I didn't know what to focus on. So I'm like, frustrated and I didn't have time, but it brought me more awareness. But we get mislabeled. So I think narcissistic people are just people. I think they need love, but they're conditioned to believe that their love has to come from a sad way. So they self-sabotage their happiness. They don't believe their insecurities are their reality. They're always losing. They never make it. They're never growing. They're never happy. They'll make you believe they're happy. They'll make you believe they're moving on. They'll make you believe. They'll keep you in the loop. But we can sit there all day talking about how we're stuck, what they did. And I've been there. You've been there. But I think that they have an opportunity because I find, I don't know what you think about this. What's your opinion? There is a beauty in going through what we go through, right, to help other people. And I think it's kind of funny how to reword this, but the highest sought out career right now, I think that would be and is needed in this world, in the industries of spirituality, is more people who are aware of the narcissistic label to help other people become self-aware. Because there's plenty of the spiritual journey. There's plenty of the, and the spiritual journey for me has brought me to this understanding of insecurities and being honest with myself about it. But we also have to find in other journeys that they're going to face a fear of, oh shit, I'm a narcissist. And when they do that, and if they can do that, and if they can heal from it, there's so many people that don't even know that they are narcissistic, that are upset that their life isn't going in directions that they needed to go and they wanted to go in. Because we all face this 3D labeling of money, job, what life's supposed to be, why it never worked out, this person, and they have no friends, and they think they have, it's just all over the place. And that's why we have to come back to self. But I think that it's a really important shit. Like, that is needed hardcore, because duality is, okay, let's say that narcissism is negative. Obviously, it's not fun, but we all signed up to experience the shit somehow. We see our reflection. We learn more about ourselves. We go through a hard time. But there's going to be things about you that maybe you experienced in your life that I didn't. And that it could be really, like, difficult because maybe you think I'm going to judge you. But that's what we start to learn is, I love you for who you are. And you made some horrible choices, or you said some weird shit. Whatever you did, like, when I meet people, they do tell me their past, but I don't look at them for their past. I'm looking at them for who they are now. And right. That's important to me. If this person was a great person, I still wish the best to people, but I'm a cool individual. I just see things differently now. And I just hope the best for everyone. I think this life can be difficult. There's moments of difficulty. And if we're all here to show each other through, like, our waves of our journey, like, oh, you're going through this, let me help you. Oh, you're going through that, we're going to all climb up together. But not everyone has that same mentality. They're, you know, they're focused on just their life, and spiritual people have to balance their spiritual and physical life. So, but I don't know. What do you think about the help of individuals labeled narcissistic?
I think, you know, for me, it was kind of funny how it ended up turning out for me. He started going to counseling. And the reason I'm laughing is because it was such a mockery of the whole thing. And, you know, he wanted me to come into one of the sessions, but, you know, he told me to just go sit on the couch. He was going to do a video chat with this counselor. And the whole time, and his voice carried. So I heard everything. And he's sitting there, and he's basically making it out to be that there's nothing he can do to please me. There's nothing that he can do right to be with me. And everything he does is wrong. And that I'm the problem and not him. And, you know, everything he does is, you know, he does this, he does this, you know, he's just labeling things to her. And so the only thing that came out of that kind of help for him was somebody else to look at him and say, yeah, she's the problem. But then when she met me, she realized he's the problem.
Yeah.
And it was one of those situations where he spent so much time, you know, telling all of these people everything that he did to me that I did to him.
Right.
And it was, like, completely backwards in his mind. And no matter, you know, and there was a point in time where I had thought that he was changed. And he was good to me. He was going to counseling. He was taking his medication. He was meditating. He was resting. He was doing all this good stuff for himself. And it was like, gosh, I think it was about 5 or 6 months in, and I'm thinking, oh, I got the best relationship. I'm trying to convince my family, like, he's got now, blah, blah, blah. 6 months into it, he does a complete 180. And he starts telling me, you can't make me love you. I'm never going to love you. You can't this, you can't that, like, just constant gaslighting. And everything that he had worked so hard to make me believe about him just fell right off. Like, he got so sick of acting perfect or something. And that was realized for this specific individual, there is no way for anybody to help him unless he acknowledges that he's got a problem. And, you know, I do believe that there are some narcissists that can get help and can actually change. But I don't believe in this situation of mine that he is ever going to be ready to go, you know what, actually, I did all those things to her. She didn't do it to me. I'm sorry. He would never do that unless forced to in some sort of way, whether to gain my affection or gain somebody else's affection. I don't, you know, and I've even had this where I had a client that came in who displayed narcissistic personality disorder. And I remember going to my supervisor. This was when I was a counselor for the state. And I remember going to my supervisor and going, she's only here because her husband's making her come here. How am I supposed to help her if she doesn't actually believe she has a problem? You know, and I remember my supervisor saying, you know, just allow the person to talk. Allow the person to tell you their point of view. Don't agree with it. Just allow the person to get it out. Maybe eventually this person will stumble upon what they're actually doing, right? And it was really hard to work with that person for about 6 months. And, you know, eventually that person started understanding it. But once she did understand that she kind of had that personality, she just stopped counseling, just completely just stopped. It scared her so much that she saw that reflection of herself that she just walked away altogether. And I think that, you know, nobody wants to be told you're a narcissist. Nobody wants to think that they're a narcissist. But I think that a lot of people do have some traits, but I don't think that all people, you know, obviously are narcissists, especially, you know, like you said, you were labeled a narcissist. I don't believe that you could have abilities the way that you do if you carried that persona, if you carried those characteristics, you know. But as far as help, like, yeah, you have to, just like with drinking, you have to admit you have a problem or it's never going to change, you know.
Well said. Well said. Yeah. There's a lot to this.
I know. I think we're going on 2 hours. I do have to keep going, though, because I have to do a healing yet tonight. But, yeah, this is definitely a very extended topic, but it's a very good topic. And I think that we're getting more to the bottom of it, just you and me talking about it, than I think that a lot of people have in conversations.
I really, real quick, I think that if they were to be more self-aware, like, they can help a whole, it's not just only helping, like, other people, but it brings us back together as people to understand each other better. Because really all it came down to, I think, with all the craziness, was the lack of communication and understanding and empathy and, because insecurity makes us believe a lot of things that aren't true. There's fears. There's all that. So if we can learn to communicate and accept, it's all about accepting people, because the 3D world brings in this, like, this is how life's supposed to be. And there's different pictures of what people's lives think they're supposed to be. And I'm getting more aware of who I am and accepting of the things I didn't know before. Even my, I'll be honest, like, I'm a very blunt person. My reality of love and relationship, needing or wanting it, or what I believe it to be, has changed. Like, some people might think, even from my changes, it's lacking empathy. Like, I don't firmly believe you will and need and have a sexual bond with someone as much as people just, like, it's like accepting something at first, like, yeah, that's for sure. But then I was always that person that wanted a relationship, but also wanted a successful one. And I learned that by loving myself so much, I don't need this other person to complete me. I don't need a person to complete me. I don't need to lie to myself about how I don't need someone. Like, it just doesn't, it's not there anymore. I think we're human, and I'll be honest with you, like, because you're human, right? You have body parts. Sex.
Yeah.
Yes, I think we are a part of the ecosystem of animals, and we feel emotionally the desire or need or want for a connection. But I think it's all manipulated all together as one. So this has brought me a lot of awareness. You want to tell everyone what you're offering for services? And you mentioned collective cards. Did you want to do that still?
Oh, yeah. I did pull a collective card. I wanted to kind of pull something for whoever is listening or whoever listens to this later. And I love this card. Like, it's the first card that popped out earlier, and now it popped out again. I had done a live earlier, and the same card popped out, so it's pretty amazing. The same one came out just now. It's the New Beginnings card, and it talks about, you know, new beginnings and not holding yourself back anymore, which is what I think you and I are also going through, where
Amen.
We've got all this change energy, and we're like, we're pushing ourselves, and we're going, okay, today is the day. And it's kind of funny how you and I both were on the same energy wavelength. And you
yeah.
and I both were like, doing this today. And I think that with the New Beginnings card, it's about transforming and transmuting that negative energy that our exes may or may not have for us at this point in time. And using that to go, I'm going to grow from this. I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to teach with this. And I'm also going to give love more easily. I'm not going to be afraid to love somebody, even if it's momentarily, even if it's somebody that I, you know, just came across, you know, as a client for an hour. I'm going to show unconditional love because that is who I am. And I think that he tried to take that away from me when I was with him. And I think that now I realize how important that is to me. I don't want to be shut down. I don't want to not allow people in. I don't want to be isolating myself because of the trauma bonding, trauma issues. And I think that right now at this point in my life, I am more healed and more anxious to go and to learn and to give and to teach than ever in my life. And so
awesome.
This is a beautiful card for everyone. And I think that it speaks volumes about this conversation and how you and I were able to open up about our personal lives and open up about, you know, our personal experiences. And this card is just perfect because I think we're both on this journey, and I think that we're both ready to expand and to just accept, you know, abundance in love, abundance in money, abundance in people, abundance in everything, really.
I agree with you. I have your link here for people to find you, but is there anything you want to tell them about what you offer for services?
So I offer a variety of services. So the first thing that a lot of clients seem to, like, the most popular service that I have is it's a 4-month program where people learn how to get rid of, you know, get their shadow work done, get their healing done, learn how to heal themselves, learn how to get rid of triggers. I give them a big tool bag full of spiritual tools to help you get through traumas and triggers. And I also do one-on-one healings, one-on-one readings. And I also do a class to teach you how to, through the law of attraction and energy healing, how to heal your body and your mind. I don't know. I don't think I mentioned this before, but I was in bed for about 5 years. It was where I had severe pain, severe nausea, severe, it was called fibromyalgia. And because through all of this spiritual awakening and energy healing, not only did I lose 180 pounds, but I also learned how to heal my own pain in my mind and my body. As with everyone, I have my triggers, I have my flares, but when I use this tool bag that I've designed for my clients, I've learned how to manage it so that it doesn't manage me. And so if you're looking for somebody to help with healing, somebody to help with shadow work, or even just do a one-on-one reading, I do also do psychic medium work. It is Spiritual Life Coach Kristen Lynn on Facebook, or you can look, if you're local in Bismarck, North Dakota, it's Dakota Healing.
Awesome. That was great. Thank you. I'm going to add some stuff before I end the show, but I want to say thanks for joining me. And also, I look forward to having you on again. That was great.
Yeah, that was awesome. I loved it.
Have a good night, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. I wanted to share with everyone before I kind of wrap this up, this thought process that I was having before. Welcome to my life where I can multitask while in my zone of passion. I wanted to share this thought I had, and I guess it kind of connected with me from my circumstance of being like on this live radio show or this radio show and podcast land. But Howard Stern, right? I actually didn't plan on following his career as much as I thought, and that's not a negative thing. I didn't know where I was going with this before. Like, I didn't know I was going to be here. But Howard Stern's story, he became really well known primarily because of his rebellious side in a way, but his lack of fear of talking about crazy shit. And I thought about this, and I thought about how I was discussing things I haven't really been comfortable talking about yet until, like, you know, pushing new limits here. Being rebellious is a good character trait to have. You're going against the norm of society. You're going against the norm of what people are afraid to do, or you being rebellious can bring you to this new place of like, wow, that guy did it. Like, and I'm talking about with courage and excitement and what you stand for. I stand for people, and I'm just here to talk about life, spiritual journey, or just the journey, your life journey. This is not for affecting narcissists, or it's really in hopes that humanity and the world can work together to basically understand more about each other, and we can all evolve together. I see it empathically and empathetically in the sense of not just that topic, but as me or you in the world, and how can we use what we've learned through our journey to help inspire other people or share. And my journey has brought me, even in this episode, of awareness of, I've always been recently over the years courageous of talking about topics of what I've experienced. I mean, the soul awakening journey, a lot of stuff, angel numbers. I saw aliens. I say light beings now. I saw ships. I saw a lot of stuff. I've experienced a lot, and sometimes it's I'm grateful. I'm not sometimes grateful. I'm grateful, but it's a lot of like, wow. And throughout this journey, I saw my patterns without myself really realizing that I was taking my pain and sadness and helping others out of the darkness, per se, and we walk out together in the light, and we lift each other up. And I was reminded throughout different people recently, too, that what I do is helping people. And I forget to notice those things. I get excited and passionate about sharing things with everyone. Because the whole point of me starting this was that, wow, I never thought about it this way till I actually now. When I was going through my journey, I couldn't find anyone to give me the answers. And it was early on, I felt so alone. I remember kind of being worried and fearful because I'm seeing synchronicities and angel numbers, only to find the world discussing more and more of what this is. And you can easily be labeled for the people that don't understand the journey. It can easily label you because they never experienced it. And we, as spiritual people, understand that and understand why. And there's everything, but there's more learning. I guess to wrap this up is, don't be afraid to stand out. Don't be afraid to do anything. Don't be afraid to speak your truth. Don't be afraid, because all of this, this is why I talk about the light warrior. The light warrior finds himself more aware through these obstacles that we don't want to get up for. We're like avoiding, and you discover more about yourself in your darkest times. So don't stay in the dark. Be rebellious. Be different. Challenge your reality. If you're excited to do it, it doesn't matter what people think, say, or their opinions. You're going to find a way. And I thought in the first place that this was all going to take off a certain way, and I'm now just patient, grateful, happy, and passionate regardless. It's not even about that. It's about this moment, brought to you by Joe. So I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I love all of you. I'm grateful for the new people coming in. I'm grateful for the people that have been here since day one. And I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I think about things and I cry because I'm like, wow, this is so awesome. I do see the beauty in it. And I hope you guys find the beauty in your journey. There's a lot of changes. There's a lot of friends that go. There's relationships and love. And I guess you start looking and finally seeing the beauty in life and things that you didn't get to see before. Or maybe you did, but now you see it even better. Life's a journey. Live it. My favorite quote of myself is, my motto, fuck around and find out. Experience new things. Try new things. The only thing that is the best thing of all is to learn more about who you are through these times. The worst thing that you could do is experience something, feel weird about it, not ask yourself why you feel weird about it, whatever it is, and just keep going and trying to look for, we look for stuff and we know we don't know. So keep learning. It's all good. It's more fun. And till next time.
I am His Holiness, the Guru Pitka. Welcome to my ashram, the Ecumenical Intuitive Enlightenment Initiative Organization, or EIEIO. Guru Pitka had a farm,
EIEIO.
And on that farm, he did no harm,
EIEIO.
Okay.
If I sit like this any longer, I'm going to pop my dink bag.
Listen up. I am a guru. Let's look at the word guru, okay? My goal is to get you to say, G, you are you, TM. And the you of guru is intimacy, or into me I see. Without intimacy, you feel nowhere. Tonight, I want you to go from nowhere to now here.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
It's like in the electric company, you know?
Now, here, nowhere.
My laws of intimacy are kind of like my Bible. And let's look at the word Bible, shall we? The Bible is basic instructions before leaving Earth. TM. Put that shit on a T-shirt.
Show the T-shirt.